Morning, ladies and gentlemen. We come from Woolwich Evangelical Church down at Woodhill. I'd like to read to you a few verses from the scriptures, words of encouragement, words of challenge, and words of warning about the future, about our preparations for death. Hear the words of the apostles as they met in Jerusalem. Not long after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they said this: "We cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. We can't hold them to ourselves. We can't hide them. They have to be made public. Here are treasures so vast, they have to be disclosed. Oh, friends, where will you find the forgiveness of our sins? Where will you find reconciliation with the Most High God? Where will you find peace with an offended and an angry God who sees our sins, sees our vanity, sees the futility of our existence without him? Oh, friends, in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the Lamb of God, the one who draws us near, the one who calls us, persuades us, woos us into his presence. And what have we done with his name? What have we done with those glorious promises? What have we done with the inheritance laid out for us? What have we done with that rich spiritual banquet in the Lord Jesus Christ? What have you done with the words of God, the warnings of God, and the promises of God? Trampled them underfoot? Ignored them? Listened to the propaganda of this evil world? Ignored the calling and the warnings of the living God? Oh, friends, we need to wake up. We need to get real. No good sleepwalking down towards hell. We need to get real, to think about these things carefully. Here's what the apostle says: "We cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard." In the scriptures, in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, in his works and his power, there is a richness, a treasure that cannot be hidden. Oh, friends, look at Christ. Have you ever seen a life lived like his? So simple, so pure, so free from sin, so humble and yet so strong, so meek and yet so divinely supreme. There is no name like him. He is utterly supreme. Where are the religious teachers and prophets like Christ? Look at them, friends. Survey their lives. Examine their records. You'll find every one of them wanting. Look again at Christ. Look again at his record. Look again, friends, at his miracles of power, his raising of the dead, his healing of the lepers, his opening the eyes of those born blind. Miracles that have never happened before or since were done by the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at his character under pressure. What is a man really like, friends, when he's under pressure? Look at him carefully. Look at his heart. Look at his works. Look at his words. In the furnace of affliction, that's when you find what somebody's really like. Not the nice smile you see on a Saturday morning. When he's under pressure, when he's under affliction. What was Christ like under affliction? When he was crushed under the foot of suffering and death, how did he react, friends? What was his response? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In Christ is a treasure unseen by other men, unseen in the lives of other men, unseen in the prophets and the teachers of this vain world. Look again at the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder the apostle said, "We cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard." Oh, friends, deal with Christians as you like. Ignore their message. Turn them away into prisons, as they're beginning to threaten to do even in this foolish country. But we cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard. Here is a treasure too great to be kept secret, too great to be kept in the church, far too vast, far too wonderful to be kept to ourselves. Here is the treasure of the love of God, the friendship and the kindness of the Holy One. But friends, what have you done with Christ? What have you done with his warnings? What have you done with repentance? What have you done with the scriptures, with the laws of God, the commands of God? Turn them aside, throw them behind your back, trampled them underfoot, ruined your own soul, seared your conscience. Oh, friends, wake up. What are you doing? Where are you headed after death if you live like that? Wake up to righteousness before it's too late. Wake up to wisdom before it's too late. Open your eyes, friends. Can't you see the cost of sin? Can't you see the consequences of living like a fool, ignoring the purpose of life, ignoring the glory of God, ignoring his call, pretending he doesn't exist. Oh, friends, wake up to righteousness. Wake up to wisdom. What a careless and a foolish thing it is not to know the way of peace, not to know the way of truth. Here again is what the apostle said. We cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard. I'd like to read to you words of the apostle Paul where he says this. For we preach Christ crucified. What is the church for? What are churches gathered for? You wouldn't really know it to go into many of them. All you hear is a little bit of tittle-tattle about politics and global climate change and so on. The church is here for preaching about Christ, telling us about the Lord Jesus Christ, why he came, why he died, why he was raised the third day, and why that matters to us, why it's a matter of life and death to us. Why, friends, sin is deadly dangerous. Why it's our worst enemy. Why sin is worse than a poisonous snake. Will destroy our spirits, ruin our souls, bring us into enmity with God, into eternity. Even now brings us into chains. Oh, friends, we need to get real. What is the church here for? Just idling about with politics? Just fiddling around the scenes? Fiddling around the fringes of society with this and that? No, the church is here to preach Christ. This is what the Apostle Paul says. We preach Christ crucified. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come? Did he come to judge us? Did he come to show us up? Did he come to expose us? In a sense he did, but the real reason he came was to deliver us from the chains of sin. Oh, friends, here is the great condemnation, that we don't even want to know about holiness. We don't even want to know about righteousness. We don't want to know his light. We don't want to know his power. We don't want to know his love. We prefer the shambles of sin to the purity of his presence, the power of his closeness, and the goodness of his fellowship. What a big mistake, friends. What a tragedy to waste your soul, to throw away the power of prayer, to do away with God as though he didn't exist, to try and pretend him out of existence, not to know why you're here or where you're headed. We preach Christ crucified. The Lord Jesus Christ came as a liberator, a redeemer, to buy us back from sin, to show us the folly of living for self, the folly of a life lived for this empty world, for its own sake. Oh, friends, the man who lives for the senses is a captive, a slave, a prisoner of the flesh. Don't you see it? Haven't you understood? After all these years on earth, haven't you seen it still? Don't you know that those who live just for the here and now are captives, slaves of their own lusts and uncleanness, given over to things that God hates? But in Christ, there is liberation. There is power to break the chains of pride and lust and uncleanness. Where else will you go for washing? Where else will you go for cleansing? Only to the cross. Here is what Paul says. We preach Christ crucified. And believe me, friends, there's nothing else that would draw me out on a cold Saturday morning but to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ and why he came, why he showed this most amazing love towards sinners to bring us back into the presence of God from the dark paths of sin. But the great crowning sin of our generation is unbelief, the rejection of God's testimony, the ignoring of God's law. And where is the benefit, friends, of sin? Where is the outcome of sin? What has been the fruit, the harvest of the lives that we've lived over the last 30, 40 years? Where is the outcome? What a terrible tragedy. We work out in our own spirits and our own lives, searing and hardening the conscience, ruining and throwing away principle. Wake up to righteousness before it's too late. In Christ, in the cross, there is the meeting place with God. What have you done with the cross, friends? What have you done with the mercy of God? The call of God, in him is life. In him is mercy. In him is the power to take a hard, foolish, sinful soul and make it fresh, make it clean. Give us a new birth. You cannot do without the cross. You'll find, friends, without his mercy, without his power, we live as slaves of the flesh, slaves of this present evil generation. Oh, friends, seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he is still near at hand. Why waste away your days and your years? Why become ever more a slave of sin, a slave of Satan, a slave of the flesh. Friends, what are you doing with your souls? What are you doing with your souls if you don't know Christ? You don't know His mercy. Wake up to His grace. Wake up to His kindness. Here again is what the Apostle Paul says. We preach Christ crucified. Here is the hope of the nations. Here is the strength of God in the weakness that the Lord Jesus Christ showed at the cross. His humbling Himself to bear our sin if we go to Him. To pay our punishment if we go to Him. Don't you know that sin must be punished? Don't you know that God marks us and knows us and sees us? Don't you know that God searches us? Our sin will find us out. Run as you like, friends. You'll never escape the consequences of the life you've lived till you go to the cross. Till you go to the merciful one. Till you go to that fountain of cleansing and washing. Oh, friends, what are you doing with your spirit? What are you doing with your heart? Sam, I have a few other leaflets. You don't have to be too sparing.
Yeah.
Don't mind giving those to Oliver. They're all unstamped.
Yeah.
And there are a number of ones that are truly stamped.
Okay.
But do distribute them around. Thanks. Again, Paul goes on to say this. Unto them, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. And so it is with this present evil world, friends. The Muslims say Jesus wasn't crucified. The Jews say Jesus wasn't the Christ. But isn't it interesting how both of them agree on the other aspect of the truth? Jesus is the Messiah, but not crucified, the Muslims say. But on the other hand, the Jews say He's not the Messiah, but He was crucified. Both acknowledge half the truth. And there it is, friends. There's Satan's genius. He gives us a little rope to hang ourselves with. He gives us a little bit of the truth. He gives us a little bit of what we want to believe. And hides and conceals the rest from us. What foolishness, friends. What carelessness. Not to know the way of peace. Not to know the way of reconciliation. Not to know the way of mercy. Oh, friends. What grace, what kindness, what patience God has shown towards us. And yet we bite the hand that feeds us. Curse the one that blesses us. How impatient and foolish we are with the living God. And yet He still stretches out His hands to us. Friends, our lives are short. They will come to an end. And how will we give an account for what we've said and done without His mercy and without His power? Paul goes on to say this. Unto those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Why so? Why is the cross a demonstration of God's power? Look at the Lord Jesus Christ, friends. Here is the very Son of God, the Word of God, crucified, brought low, trampled under the heel of men. Don't you see, in that cross, Jesus shows that even though one is humiliated, in that humiliation, there can be victory. There can be an outcome which is glorious and precious and vital. In the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrates that even in the worst of circumstances, God can work. Even in the darkest of human circumstances, God especially delights to work. He loves the hard cases. He loves the hard nuts to change us, to wash us, to give us a new heart. He loves the Zacchaeuses, the Mary Magdalenes, the Sauls of this world. He loves to deal with the hardest and the most difficult of men. There's no one so filthy in Woolwich, He can't wash them clean. No tongue so bitter, so vile, He can't change it and take it and make it pure as purer than a newborn child. In Christ is the power to wash us and change us. In Christ is an open fountain for sin and uncleanness. But our friends, what have we done with it? There's the question. What have we done with this offer, this invitation to holiness? We prefer to keep holiness confined to a distant place. We don't want to know about purity. We certainly don't want to know about sexual purity or humility or grace or patience. These are things for the saints. But our friends, God will not be satisfied with our lives till we seek them. He hates the things that we love. And He loves the things that we hate. So great is the enmity between ourselves and Him. What a mistake, friends, to live contrary to the one who made us, contrary to His laws, contrary to His kindness. In Christ is a call to return. In Christ is the power of God to deliver us from the chains of sin. Oh, friends, I wonder if you're one of those ladies or gentlemen this morning who makes a mock of sin, who thinks very lightly of sin, doesn't really understand how enchaining, how ensnaring sin can be. Open your eyes. Look again at the great commandments. Which one of those 10 commandments have you not fractured and ruined and spoiled in the sight of God? And we're slaves to sin by nature. Only the power of God, only the power of Christ can change us. Who could change an alcoholic? Who can change a drug addict? Who can change an inveterately dishonest criminal? Only Christ, and he's done it time and time and time again. Oh, friends, why do you harden your hearts? Why do you cut your own throats? Why do you live for self? Why do you live against God and against his laws? Wake up before it's too late. Seek his grace and his kindness. Seek that love given to us in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, how is the cross the wisdom of God? Think about it, friends. Those who looked on thought, what a folly. What a shame. Here is that prince of prophets. Here is that lord of men, the prince of life, slain and humiliated, executed on a gibbet, brought low and treated like a criminal. But there in the cross is the wisdom of God. Friends, he can bring out of the darkest places of human nature light and purity and blessing. He can bring out of the worst of situations grace and kindness and love. In fact, he brings the brightest of his works out of the darkest parts of the human experience. In Christ is the wisdom of God. Don't you see how that cross was arranged and foretold centuries before he came? Haven't you read the prophecies? Haven't you read Leviticus? Haven't you looked at the chapters on the Passover or the scapegoat? Haven't you seen how the Bible foretells and foresees the cross with exquisite detail hundreds of years before he came? Friends, wake up! If you think the Bible is some outmoded, old-fashioned book, look at the prophecies. Look at the descriptions of the cross. Centuries before he came. When did they ever predict Muhammad before he came? When did they ever predict Confucius before he came? Even 10 years. Wake up. Wake up to life before it's too late. Oh, friends, in the cross is the wisdom of God, the eternal plan and purpose of God, wonderfully unveiled at the cross. Why do you think Moses, 1400 years before, spoke of the Passover? 1400 years before, spoke of the scapegoat. How wonderfully, how marvelously, how strangely fulfilled those prophecies and predictions were in the cross, the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, friends, how do you hope to appear before God? How do you hope to appear before God as you are, with a sinful heart and a ruined spirit, without a priest? There is only one priest who can bring us into his presence. Only one fit to act as a bridge between sinful man and holy God. Only one mediator between man and God. The man Christ Jesus, the sinless one, the holy one, the perfect one. In Christ is the power of God to break the chains of sin and the wisdom of God. Oh, friends, what are you doing with your spirit? What are you doing with your heart? What are you doing with your life if you don't know the gift of God and the gift of peace and the way of life and the grace and the promises of the Most High? What a mistake, friends. What a tragic mistake to throw your spirit away, not to know the grace and the kindness of God. Here's a treasure so vast, so gracious, so wonderful. Men and women have preferred to be burnt rather than deny it, time and time again. Ordinary men and women. And yet, you haven't even bothered to look at the Bible. You haven't even bothered to scratch the surface of the world's propaganda to see if it's all rubbish or not. Wake up, friends. Search it out. Read the scriptures for yourself. Look at the promises. Look at the prophecies. Don't take somebody else's word for it. Search out the truth. Buy it and don't sell it. Again, the apostle says this, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is greater than their strength. In Christ, in the cross, there is the way back to God from the dark paths of sin. But our friends, how careless we are with our eternal spirits. How careless we are with the eternity that stretches out before us like a vast sea this life like a drop in the bucket compared to the life to come. And what have we done? Blinded ourselves, blinkered ourselves, smothered ourselves with pleasures and follies, ignored eternity, ignored death, ignored judgment. We have to get real. We have to wake up. It's no good sleepwalking through life, friends. We need to know about these things. It's vital. It's crucial. In Christ is one who came to save us, to bless us, to deliver us. Here is the Lord of life, the Prince of life. Here is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And yet, friends, how did he come? Not as a king, not as a prophet first and foremost, as a priest, to suffer and die for sinners. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the opener up of the way into the presence of God. The one who stretches out God's hand of invitation to us. What have we done with God? Bitten the hand that feeds us, cursed him. Friends, what are we doing? What do we think we're doing if we live like that? Live as enemies to the Most High. Enemies of the very one who founds us and sustains us. Violators of the very covenant that holds us and blesses us. What do you think, friends, of a man or a woman who tells his father or his mother, I hate you and I never want to see your face again? What a shame! What an outrage! What a disgusting thing to do! And yet, day by day by day, we do the same thing to the eternal father, to the eternal guardian, to the eternal parent, the one who would bless us, the one who would keep us, the one who would guard us. In Christ is the way of return. In Christ is the way of peace. Friends, wake up. Sleep not. I'd like to read to you a few other verses from the scriptures. Words of invitation and words of life. Here are the words of the psalmist. He says this. Understand, you brutish among the people. Understand, you brutish among the people. And you fools, when will you hear? Oh, friends. So much time has gone past and you haven't thought why you're here or where you're headed. So much of your life has gone past and you still don't know where you're going after you die. You still don't know what life is for. Wake up, friends! What are you doing? Think about it. Where are you headed after death? How do you stand before the eternal God? How does the Holy One survey your life and find it? What is the verdict, friend, of his judgment upon your spirit? Where will you stand in the sight of his holy laws? Without his mercy, without the new birth that he promises by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Understand, you foolish, and all you brutish, when will you be wise? When will you search out the purpose of life? When will you search out the founder of your being? When will you stop frittering around with the temporal, empty vanities of this world? Wake up to life, friends. Wake up to wisdom. Wake up to godliness. Wake up to purity. Don't you see how impurity destroys your spirit, defiles and disgraces your heart, makes you cheap and brutish, makes you into a dwarf, a cripple, a slave of what you ought to be? Oh, friends, why are you living like a fool? Why are you living like a servant of the flesh? Why live carelessly? And here is what the psalmist goes on to say. Here is the essence of folly. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? Look at the retina, friends. That magnificent tapestry of 10 neural layers. Do you really think that came into being by chance? Do you really think that DNA, that amazing volume of information in every one of our 100 trillion cells, wrote itself? Wake up, friends. What kind of gullible nonsense is that? You've swallowed Dawkins' lies, hook, line and sinker. He that formed the eye, shall he not see? Don't you think God knows? Don't you think God sees? Don't you think God surveys? The one who formed the eye, shall he not see? He knows everything. He sees all. Nothing is hidden from his sight. Friends, we need to get real. No good dreaming our way through life, pretending God isn't there. Pretending God doesn't see. Pretending God doesn't know. He knows us. He searches us. He calls us. He woos us. Just as he did with our first parents, and yet just like them, we scuttle into the undergrowth of our own excuses. What a mistake, friends. Seek the word of God. Go to a gospel preaching church. Go and read the scriptures for yourself. Come along to our services on a Sunday evening, 6:30 down at Wood Hill, and you hear the word of God explained clearly and plainly. Oh, friends, what a careless thing it is to pretend there's no meaning to life. To try and carve out some empty purpose for yourself. Like a man building his house on quicksand. Like a fool building his house out of straw when the storm comes. Don't you see the folly of living like that, friends? Don't you see the carelessness of living an immoral, foolish, self-pleasing life without the knowledge of holiness? Without the knowledge of real peace? Without the knowledge of the blood price for sin paid at the cross in Him and in Him alone is the way back to God. Again, the psalmist says this, "He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye," look again, friends, at the ear. Look at its intricate labyrinth. Look at the glorious construction of the inner ear. Like a cathedral, and far more clever than the best of the cathedrals, is the ear of man, or the eye of man. How did it come into being? By blind chance? By blind random selection? Friends, who has tricked you? Who has beguiled you? Who has deceived you to snatch away from you the richest treasure of all? The knowledge of God, the knowledge of peace, the knowledge of righteousness. Oh, friends, haven't you grown up? Haven't you realized how carelessly people argue when they hate God? Haven't you realized how foolishly people spin their tapestries when they deny the goodness and the faithfulness and the truthfulness of God? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He knows all, friends. He sees everything. Nothing is concealed from his gaze. His eyes are like a lamp of fire. He sees us and he knows us and he will hold us to account. Our sins will find us out. Oh, friends, that secret sin 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, we'd long forgotten. He knows it. He holds us to account for it. Until we come in repentance, until we come for his mercy, until we come for his washing, how can we stand in his judgment? How can we stand before him? We'll be blown away like chaff if we don't know the root of godliness, if we don't know the root of wisdom, if we don't know the fear of God. What is your life, friends, in the weight of God? How does this see your life? Like chaff, like stubble, like rubbish fit only to be blown away? What a mistake. What a great mistake not to know the way of righteousness and the way of peace. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He knows every secret conversation. He reads every secret letter. He sees every secret interaction on the internet. He knows everything. Nothing is concealed from his sight. And even the idle words will be brought into judgment before him. Friends, we need to get real. We need to seek him. We need to find him before it's too late. Here are the words of the psalmist. He goes on to say this, "The Lord knows the thoughts of men, but they are vanity." And how vain and empty even the best of our thinkers are in the sight of God. How they spin their webs of deceit. How they spin their tapestry of propaganda against God. Think of the Big Bang, friends. What nonsense. Do you really think this ordered cosmos came into being by process of just a massive expansion from a single moment? You know, the Big Bang was actually coined by Fred Hoyle as a joke. So it is, friends. And yet we believe a lie rather than acknowledging the truth of God. Rather than acknowledging his righteousness. Look again at the theory of evolution. Look at its gaping cracks and flaws. Look at its unraveling doctrines. Friends, evolution is a lie. There is a God. There is one who will hold us to account. There is one who knows us and searches us. He that planted the eye, shall he not see? He that formed the inner ear, shall he not hear? He knows us. He calls us. He invites us. Oh, friends, seek him while he may be found. Go to him while there's still life. Don't throw away your eternal spirit. Don't harden your heart against the living God. Seek his wisdom and his grace before it's too late. I'd like to read to you two words of the psalmist where he says this, "Blessed is the man whom you chasten, O Lord, and teach him out of your law." What wisdom there is to gain in Christ's law. What wonderful blessings there are from the laws of God, and yet we'd rather not know. We'd rather not hear about the dangerousness of adultery, the ruination of sex outside of marriage, how it spoils the heart, ruins the conscience, makes us cheap and brutish. We'd rather not hear about how deceit ensnares us, draws us away, this blinds us. Oh, friends, how many of us are living as slaves of sin this morning? Living in bondage to pride and to folly, to gossip, to bitterness, to hardness, to unbelief. In Christ is the power to wash us, to cleanse us, to change us, to make us His own. Seek Him while He may be found. In Him, and in Him alone is life. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the glorious liberator, the glorious redeemer of our spirits. In the Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of life, the Prince of peace. There is no peace to the wicked. There is no peace when we don't know God, when we're under His anger, under His indignation, under His curse. And don't you realize, friends, that's our state by nature? We live under His anger, under His indignation, when we will not know Him, we will not hear His law, we will not hear His grace, we will not hear His mercy. We live every day under His curse, every day waiting for hell. There's a very solemn verse in the Old Testament that says, their feet shall slip in due time. Don't you see it, friends? You're walking on thin ice. You're walking into a locomotive. You're in a burning house, half asleep. You can smell the flames, but you don't know where you're going after death. You don't know God. You don't know His anger against sin. You don't know what He requires. Friends, we need to wake up. Life is passing us by. Wake up to righteousness and to wisdom before it's too late. Turn away from sin. Why, friends, would you ruin your spirit? Why would you harden your conscience? Why would you jettison principle? For what? What is the gain of sin? What is the outcome of godlessness? Oh, friends, go back to the cross. Go back to the Christ. Go back to the living God in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That glorious Passover. The one who helps God to pass over our sin. The one who helps to wash us, to cleanse us, to change us. The one who will not have us as we are. Oh, friends, wake up to grace. Wake up to His goodness. I'd like to read to you words of the psalmist too, where he says this. There is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Oh, friends, God is very patient with us. Amazingly patient when we consider what we've done. Who we are in His sight. How many of His commandments have we kept perfectly? Not one. Not one. Every one of His laws we violated. Every one of His commands we have shattered and ruined. In His sight, we're a shipwreck. We're a car wreck. Every one of us is bankrupt in His presence. Everyone a massive debtor. Friends, don't you see we deserve to go to hell? Every one of us. We deserve to be cast away from Him. We deserve His anger. And yet He's patient with us. He fills our supermarkets with good things. He calls us. He warns us. He invites us. And oh, friends, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. He desires our best. He desires our blessing. But we will not have it. We will not know Him. We will not know His law. We will not know His wisdom. What a foolish mistake. What a careless way to live. What a reckless philosophy of life. To live like a zombie. Carelessly ignoring the greater and the higher purposes. Oh, friends. Why live like a fool? Why live like a slave? Wake up to righteousness and to grace. Seek His kindness before it's too late. Here again is what the psalmist has to say. O Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who shall stand? Which one of us, friends, could stand in the sight of a holy God? Which one of us could stand in the judgment, judged on the record that we've lived? We're sinful. We're cruel. We're foolish. We're bitter. We're gossips. We're deceivers. We're exaggerators. We may think we're better than our neighbours, but the reality is, friends, in the sight of God, by nature, we're foul. If you, Lord, should mark iniquity, who shall stand? And our friends, the verdict of God on our lives, the portrait of God, of our souls, is a very black one. He sees us as shipwrecks. He sees us as so ruined and condemned a house, we have to start from the beginning all over again. To be born again. For our spirits to be made new. For our hearts to be renewed from the roots. Not some makeover. Not some rebranding exercise. Not some shallow exercise in going religious. Oh no, friends, He wants to deal with the very root. You must be born again. You must have that experience of a new heart and a new spirit if you're to have any dealings with God at all. If you, Lord, should mark iniquity, who shall stand? Oh, friends, by His laws, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. We are condemned. if it's left to our own good deeds, our own performances, if you, Lord, should mark iniquity, who shall stand? Not one of us could stand in his sight. Not one of us could present ourselves guiltless and faultless. Every one of us deserves to go to hell by nature. But here is the glory. There is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Here is the purpose of God's mercy, to bring us to fear him, to know him with respect, to admire him, to know what he's really like, to know him as he is, fearful, glorious, majestic, the governor of all things. Oh, friends, we harden our hearts to our own peril, to our own hurt, to our own ruination, but we will not hear until he works in our hearts, till he opens up the locks of our being. If you, Lord, should mark iniquity, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Why did Jesus Christ come? Why did he go to the cross? Why did he groan those horrible words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did he cry out in his white heat of agony, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Friends, why did he do those things? He meant to save, to bless, to deliver, to shatter the chains that hold us. But ah, friends, we prefer our slavery. Like the Jews in Egypt of old, we prefer the groaning and the bondage of this evil world rather than the knowledge of righteousness, rather than the knowledge of his grace and his kindness. Seek him. Call on him while he is still near. Go to him for grace. He won't forbid you. He won't chide you. He won't reproach you. If you go to him with a broken heart and a needy spirit, how he loves to receive sinners. Christ has always been the friend of sinners. Those who know their sinfulness. Those who long and thirst for righteousness. Those for whom righteousness is a top priority. He loves them. He calls them. Doesn't matter how vile, how foolish, how careless our lives have been in the past. In Christ is that wonderful physician of souls to bless us and to strengthen us. Look again at the cross, friends. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do at the cross? Broke the yoke of sin. Broke the power of Satan. Broke the power of this world, the charms of this world. In Christ is a liberator, a redeemer. There is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. But ah, friends, what a shame that we prefer sin, that we prefer damnation, that we prefer judgment, that we prefer folly, that we prefer unbelief. Hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ once, as he was working in the northern parts of Israel. He said, it was written this of him. He marveled because of their unbelief. He was amazed because of their unbelief. I wonder what you think, friends, of a man or a woman who had cancer, which was curable. And he said, I will not go to the doctors. Who had a car that was broken, and he said, I will not go to the mechanic. Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. They wouldn't go for help. They wouldn't go for salvation. They preferred to live in the cesspool of their own sin. They preferred to live out, spin out a life of iniquity, a life of ruin, a life of deceit, a life of gradually increasing decadence and folly. Oh, friends, how foolish unbelief is. How it flies in the face of the evidence. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ once said, even though somebody rose up from the dead, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, they won't believe. How true that is. Even if Christ was to be raised up in the middle of Woolwich this morning at 11:30, you wouldn't believe. You wouldn't believe for long. You'd turn away. If you will not hear the scriptures, you will not look at his evidence, you will not look at the divine testimony, neither would you believe if you saw some great miracle. Why? Because the root of unbelief is unwillingness for holiness, unwillingness for purity, unwillingness to part with sin, unwillingness to know God, to know his kindness, to know his power, to know his holiness. The reality is, friends, we're slaves and we don't even realize it. What a mistake. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the power to wash us, to change us, and to bless us. Here is what Jesus said. He came as a Saviour, and yet he marvelled at their unbelief. Now some people foolishly say, oh, I wish I had faith like yours. I wish I could get faith. The evidence is right in front of their nose. Look around you, friends. You know, the evidence is so abundant, so copious. that we will have no excuse for rejecting the presence and the being of God in the day of judgment. No excuse whatsoever for denying his being. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. He hasn't looked at the evidence carefully. He hasn't examined the flaws in evolution carefully. He hasn't thought out where he's headed or what he's doing carefully. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, and there is no greater folly. There is no greater disaster than not to know the kindness and the power of the living God. He marvels at their unbelief. Oh, friends, look at your own heart. Look at your own life. Look at the right record and the call of God. Look at his words. Look at his promises. Look at his invitations. There is abundant evidence to convince us and convict us. More than abundant evidence of the truthfulness of what God has written in his word. He marveled because of their unbelief. We're very foolish, friends, when we think that the theory of evolution or the idea of the Big Bang really comes from the scientific data. It really comes from an extravagant escapade from the living God. A determination to do away with life. A determination to do away with purity. A determination to do away with repentance. To do away with judgment. Oh, friends, he marveled because of their unbelief. Where do we stand in the sight of the living God this morning? What have we done with his words? What have we done with his warnings? So plain, so clear, so unmistakable, friends. The lines, the traces of the words, so faithful. How they analyze us better than any other document. Why is it people gather in churches to sing documents that are 2,000 or 3,000 years old and still find them vital and vibrant and real today? Because they speak from the author of their being. They know the one who knows them. The one who's written the book of our nature has written the scriptures. He knows us. He knows our being. He analyzes us. And our friends, what have we done with the scriptures? What have we done with God's testimony? Here is a legal indictment, friends. And if we will not hear it, if we will not know it, how can we stand in his presence? What a tragedy it is to throw away your soul, to harden your heart, not to know his grace and his kindness, not to know the wonderful grace, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here again the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said this, the scripture cannot be broken. You know, the word of God is true, it's faithful, it cannot be altered. Your life, my life, will be one of two things. A demonstration of God's faithfulness in his promises, or a demonstration of God in his warnings. Which will it be, friends? It can be nothing else. Your life, your life, my life, will be a demonstration of one of two things. A demonstration of God's warnings, or a demonstration of God's promises. Which will it be, friends? How can you stand? How can you do? I'm sorry, I won't stop. Thank you very much. You're welcome to speak to one of my friends here if you want to. In him is life. In him is the fountain of life. Life without Christ is like a zombie existence, scrabbling around for the things of here and now, not knowing the purpose of life, not knowing the destiny of man, not knowing the glory of God, not knowing his kindness and his goodness. Seek him out, friends. Oh, don't waste your time. Seek him out. Come along to a Bible preaching church. Go to a place where the gospel is faithfully preached. Go to a place where the preacher isn't ashamed to convict sin, to deal with sodomy, to deal with adultery, to deal with sex outside of marriage, as God sees it. Oh, friends, these things will ruin us. These things will defile us. These things will disgrace us. Wake up to righteousness before it's too late. In Christ is the gift of God and the purification of God. However dark, however vile, however foolish our hearts are, if we go to the cross, in him is an open fountain for sin and uncleanness. The Lord Jesus Christ said this, the scripture cannot be broken. Oh, friends, haven't you considered the Bible? Haven't you considered its ancient corroborations? The Bible foresaw Alexander the Great, foresaw the great power of the Roman Empire, its rise and its fall. The scriptures foresaw and forenamed Cyrus, the great emperor of the Medo-Persians. The scriptures foresaw the coming of Christ centuries before he came, described his death and his resurrection in the most exquisite detail. And yet you say the Bible is old-fashioned, and yet you say the Bible is outmoded. What is this, friends, but willful ignorance? What is this unbelief? but determined rebellion against the Most High God. Friends, it won't last forever. The truth will find us out before long. You can't keep running forever. The truth has a way of worming its way through our consciousness and coming to the surface. Try as we might weave the tapestry of the nonsense of evolution. We might try to spin out the nonsense of the Big Bang. We might try and pretend God away. But the reality is, friends, in Christ and in Him is the way of mercy and the way of grace. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the Lord of life. There is the Lord of peace. There is the Lord of strength for us feeble dwarves. You think of yourself as strong, friends? Try resisting that master temptation to which you're a slave. Try to resist that lust to which you're enchained like a puppet. Oh, friends, we have no strength to purity, to righteousness, to integrity in ourselves. We're inveterate liars, inveterate sinners, inveterately bound to the chains by which Satan binds us. Until he changes us, until he washes us, until he cleanses us, go to him. He calls us to life. He calls us to fellowship. He calls us to mercy. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Who are you kidding, friends? Who are you deceiving? Yourselves. No one else. Nobody else believes you're not a sinner. Nobody else thinks that you're not defiled and unclean. In him, and in him alone, is the way of mercy. You don't think I'd run out quite yet, do you? I have a few more stamina as well.
That'd be fantastic.
If either of you need to go before Sunday, feel free. I don't expect you to stay on so long. It's a long stint. But it's very encouraging to have you both here.
Beth and I got plans for later today, but they included a stint to spend down here, so
well, I appreciate
stay for
much.
A little bit longer.
Keep praying.
Thanks.
I'd like to read a short verse from the book of Ezekiel the prophet, where he says these words. How do you think the Lord God sees our society? How do you think he sees Britain today? Here are the words of the prophet Ezekiel. How he cuts through the pretense, cuts through the superficial descriptions, cuts right through to the heart of what things are really like. Here's what he says. Then he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great. And the land is full of floods, and the city full of perverseness. Here is how God sees us, friends. Our iniquity is exceeding great. We think it's slight. We think we're just mild sinners. We think we're just moderate sinners. That's not how God sees it at all. He sees our iniquities as something like an eternal stain on our spirits. Something that condemns us. Something that cuts us off from blessing. Something that cuts us off from the eternal inheritance. Here's how God sees Britain this morning. Our iniquity is exceeding great. He hates it. He sees our state, friends, and we're like animals living in a quagmire, in a cesspool. So he sees our state. The iniquity of the land is exceeding great. Oh, friends, we have to get real. We have to think these things through. What are the commands of God? You shall not commit adultery. Sex outside of marriage defiles the spirit, ruins our souls, cuts us off from God, makes us cheap and base, makes us slaves of Satan, makes us puppets of the flesh, makes us cheap and dwarfish. In Christ, there is the way of liberation. There is the way of mercy. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the love of God, and the kindness of God, and the mercy of God to wash us and to cleanse us. Seek him while he may be found. But our friends, this is how he sees our land. The iniquity of the land is exceeding great. Where our wickedness, our vileness in his sight is not mild. It weighs us down to hell. When we come into the account, when we come into the audit, when we come into the reckoning, our iniquities before him are exceeding great. We make light of them. We laugh at them. We joke at them. He pays the price of his son's own blood to deal with them, to wash them, to cleanse them. With God, sin is a matter of blood, a matter of life, and a matter of death. We need his grace. We need his patience. We need his mercy. But our friends, first of all, before we have healing, we need to know the diagnosis. We need to know how God really sees us, what our hearts are really like in his sight. And this is the reality. This is the portrait the prophets paint before us. Ezekiel says this: the iniquity of the land is exceeding great. Oh, friends, when you look at the lad mags, when you look at the vile things that take place on Facebook, when you look on the defiling teenage magazines, when you look on the children's programs, so full of vice and uncleanness, when you think of the government's program to educate even children into anal intercourse, we've become wicked and vile in his sight. The perverseness of the land is very great in his sight. We need to repent. We need to wash our hearts. We need to wash our tongues. We need to deal with this seriously. No point, friends, in making light of sin. He deals with it very seriously. Again, here are the words of the prophet. He said this: the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great. Oh, friends, to God, sin is a matter of life and death. One sin is enough to cut us off from him forever. One sin violates all his law. His law is like a mirror. It demonstrates to us our own character. Shows us what we're really like. We think ourselves wise and noble and pure. How ugly and foolish we are. How vile we are in his sight. When he shines the light into the darkened lives of the chambers of our being, how ugly we've become. How foolish, how careless, how dwarvish, how enslaved. The iniquity of the land is exceeding great. And oh, friends, he goes on to say the land is full of blood. Look at the abortions that abound in every part of our land. God hates murder. Don't you think he hates the murder of the unborn child? Don't you think he cares about the unborn child? Do you think it's a light thing to slay a child in the womb? Do you think it's a light matter to do away with such a young life? The land is full of blood. But yet there is mercy, there is grace, there is power to wash, power to find cleansing, power to find peace and reconciliation with him. In the Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. For his enemies, for those who hate him, for those who despise him, repent of your sins. Turn away from the things that God hates. Why will you ruin your spirit, friends? Why will you ruin your family? Why will you ruin your eternal destiny? Why will you cut yourself off from God? What is the point of living the life for the flesh, for sin? What is the gain of godlessness, of uncleanness? Wake up to his grace and his kindness. Oh, friends, I'm sorry to be so hard, but we're foolish, careless sheep heading into the mouths of the wolves, and we can't even see it. Our throats are bared to the knife, and we can't even see it. The iniquity of the land is exceeding great in the sight of God, and it's full of perverseness, full of things that God hates. Lust and sex outside of marriage and uncleanness, gossip and bitterness and hatefulness. These things abound. Where are the virtues of holiness? Where is love? Real love, solid love. Where is joy? Where is peace? Where are the solid fruits of holiness? Where are the things Christ and God delight to see in our hearts? We're like barren wildernesses, like deserts in his sight, fruitless, rootless and careless. Oh, friends, the iniquity of the land is exceeding great. He hates it. He sees the wickedness into which we're entangled and into which we're enthralled and into which we're falling day by day. And he calls us to cut it off, to turn away from it, to seek wisdom, to seek life, to seek mercy, to seek integrity. Why throw away your spirit, friends? Why live like a fool, like a dwarf, like a spiritual ignoramus, blind and unseeing, not knowing the working of your own conscience, not knowing the way of peace, not knowing the wisdom of God or the purpose of life, swallowing the lie of evolution, hook, line and sinker. Look at the eye. Look at the retina of the eye. What a glorious tapestry of engineering it is. Look at the inner ear, the cochlea, the glorious vestibular mechanism inside that distributes balance and hearing at the same time. Oh, friends, you think these things came into being by blind, random selection? These are things vastly more complex than a mobile phone, vastly more complex than the most sophisticated computer the FBI or the CIA have, and yet we take them for granted. We sneer at their creator. We trample him underfoot. We ignore his laws. We despise his kindness. Do you think God will hold us guiltless for that, friends? Do you think God will forgive us if we turn the whole of our lives over to sin and die and live impenitent, unwashed and unclean? Oh no, friends. We need to seek him now. We need to seek it right now. We need to know His wisdom and His grace now. We need to know His love and His kindness now. Seek Him before it's too late. Go to Him for wisdom, for grace, for pardon, for understanding. Nothing so precious and important as wisdom in life. And where is its root? Where is our wisdom in our universities, in our places of higher learning? Where is our wisdom gone? They have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom do they have? Oh, friends, our universities, our faculties, our places of higher learning have become reservoirs of folly. Stinking sin pools of cess. How sad it is, friends. We've rejected the fear of the Lord, and instead we've given ourselves over to idols, the idols of human philosophy that crack and change and fail every decade. Wake up to righteousness before it's too late. In Christ, there is the way of peace. There is the way of truth. Seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is still near. In Christ is the way of return. Oh, friends, hear again the words of the prophets. He said this: the city is full of perverseness. And let me address one particular matter of perverseness this morning. What about sodomy? What about sodomy? Which one of the major political parties stands against sodomy? Only the fascists, with whom no Christian will have anything to do. None of the major parties will reprove or deal with this vile sin of sodomy. What a shame! What a terrible thing! One of the most hurtful and baneful habits of our society is celebrated as diversity, celebrated as something good and clean. Yet God hates it. He sees the injury it causes. He calls those engaged in it to repent. And thankfully, friends, many people have left it behind, cast it behind their back. The city is full of perverseness. Oh, friends, sodomy has gripped our city by the throat. What a shame. What a tragedy. Oh, friends, how it ruins our younger generation. How it ruins our governments. How it ruins the political circles. And yet, in Christ is the power to leave sin behind, to wash the heart, to find a new spirit, to know His grace. That which God hates, we can leave behind at the cross. Seek Him, friends, before it's too late. Call on Him while He is still near. Here again the words of the prophet. He says this: for they say, the Lord has forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. What a big mistake. What a big mistake not to know that God watches us every second of the day, hears every conversation, monitors every thought, even our secret desires, even the secret motives that we didn't even know about ourselves. He knows. He weighs. He sifts. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And yet, here is the word of the prophet. As they say, the Lord has forsaken the earth. They don't know His presence. They don't know His working. They don't know His methods. They don't know His policy. What a big mistake, friends. To curse God and die. What a big mistake. To trample on His laws and live like a rebel. To live for slavery. To live for sin. To live for carelessness. Not to know the way of peace. Not to know the way of a right conscience. Not to know the way of cleansing and grace. Here is what the prophet says: the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, the blood of abortions, the blood of premature termination. What a shame to murder an unborn child. Wake up, friends, to the grace and the call of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse us from these things, to cleanse us from these stains. And in Christ, to know peace, to know reality, to know the way that God would lead us, to know the way that God would bless us. And our friends, here is what the prophet says. They say, the Lord has forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. But He knows us. He sees us. He calls us. He reckons us. In the day of judgment, friends, no evidence will be brought against us that is false. He knows everything about us. He knows every secret cupboard. He knows every skeleton, and He will hold us to account. We need to repent. We need to wash our sins away. We need a new birth and a new heart. Why harden your spirit, friends? Why live like a fool? Why live like a slave of the flesh? A slave of the senses, hardened and foolish and careless. Why ruin your spirit? Why live, friends, like a creature just of a three-dimensional? just for the here and now, not knowing the purposes of life, not knowing the issues of life, not knowing where what happens after death, where we head, the realm beyond, the unseen, the invisible, the eternal, the solid realm that is unshakable. Oh, friends, some of us give our entertainment and our lives to the talk and the prattle of psychics and witches. But in Christ, there is solid reality. There is truth for the spirit. There is bread for the soul. There is meat for the spirit. Meat for the conscience, to strengthen us, to give us integrity. Why throw away your spirit? Why harden your heart? Why live like a fool? In Christ is the washing power of the living God. In the Lord Jesus Christ and at his cross, there is the power to deal with us graciously and kindly. Lift us up out of the cesspool of a woe, of an idle and a foolish life. But our friends, if we ignore that call, if we ignore his kindness, what are the words of God against us? He says this: as for me also, my eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their heads. You know, friends, in the ultimate analysis, God is just. Either he punishes our sin in Christ, or he punishes our sin in us. Which will it be? Which will it be? How do we stand in the judgment day before his throne, before the great white throne of God? How do we stand in his sight? How are we given account of what we've done and said without repentance, without washing, without a new heart? I will not spare, neither will I pity, but I will recompense their ways upon their head. Without repentance, friends, without the cross, without the new birth, how can we approach God? How can we pray acceptably to him? How can we come to him as children or as friends? We're barred from his presence when we live as sinners, when we live as fools, when we live as reckless rebels, when we live carelessly and foolishly, driven by our lusts, puppeted by our inward desires, when we live for self. In Christ is the power to cleanse us, to wash us. Seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he is still near. Oh, friends, don't throw away your eternal spirit. I'd like to read to you two words of the prophet Malachi, where he says this. Speaking of the day of judgment, he says this: for behold, the day comes that shall burn like an oven. Where are our sins? Where are our godlessnesses? Where are our foolish habits in that day of death? Oh, friends, it's a day of terror for those who don't know the grace and the power of God. Don't know where they're headed. Don't know why they're here. Don't know where they're going. In Christ is the day of preparation, a way of preparation. In Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God to cleanse us, to wash us. But our friends, what have we done with our opportunities? What have we done with our Sunday mornings? What have we done with our quieter evenings? Time for reading, time for thinking, thrown away, wasted on the internet, wasted on trivial pursuits, wasted on things that'll ruin us, wasted on things that'll take us away. Why, friends, why be found? Why swallow the bait with a hook? Why be led away by a hook through your nose, like a slave and like a fool? Wake up to righteousness. Wake up to wisdom before it's too late. Seek him, and in him you'll find the grace and the gift of the living God. Malachi says this: that day will burn like an oven. All our excuses, all our vain pretenses, all our show of empty religion will be burned up in that day. And friends, then the only thing that matters is the root. Do you love Christ and know him? Do you know the peace of God? Or you're just pretending? Just pretending. An empty religion. A church-going faith. Perhaps a mosque or a synagogue-going faith. But no real knowledge of the way of peace. No real understanding of the wisdom of God and the depths of God and the kindness of God toward us. Oh, friends, that day will burn like an oven. Burn up our excuses. Burn up our vain pretenses. Take away all our shallow characteristics. In Christ, friends, there is a call to reality. A call to wake us up. A call to seek. And a call to find. Treasures beyond our imagination. Fellowship with God. Peace and life and grace with him we could never possess by our own good efforts. Oh, friends, all our good works are vain and frail and poor without his knowledge. Seek him while he is near, and in him you'll find life and grace and kindness. Again, the words of the prophet, he says this: Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Who is Christ? He's like the sun that rises over the dawn in the morning, warms our hearts, takes away the coldness and the hardness of the London heart, softens us, changes us, strengthens us, blesses us. But our friends in Christ, there is the glorious Son of Righteousness, the one who explains our being, the one who shows us the foolishness, the carelessness of a selfish life, the one who releases our chains. Go to him for grace. Oh, friends, in Christ is the lover of our souls, the only one who really cares for our spiritual priorities. We don't care for them ourselves. We neglect our own spirit to our own harm and folly. But in Christ, there is the shepherd of our souls, the lover of our spirits, the one who'd bless us, the one who'd guide us, the one who'd lift us up out of the cesspool of a foolish and a careless life. Bind us up, bind up the wounds of our spirits, and make us whole. But oh, friends, what have you done with Christ? What have you done with the glorious Lord Jesus Christ? That name higher than every name, that word of God made flesh, you like the Jews of his own generation, you will not know him. Though there might be the greatest treasure in the universe concealed in him, you don't want to know. You'd rather have sin for a short time and die and go to hell than know the peace of God and know the righteousness of God and know the purification from sin and know his peace and know his power and know his fellowship. What a mistake. Again, friends, Malachi describes the Lord Jesus Christ as a Son of Righteousness. And when we know Christ, how he illumines, how he blesses, how he warms our lives. The iceberg of a cold, unloving heart, he thaws and changes. The iceberg of a proud and stubborn, rebellious fool, a lover of lust and a lover of folly, he thaws and blesses and changes. The worst sin in Woolwich he can wash away and cleanse by his blood, by his death, and by his resurrection. But our friends, the foolishness of our hearts is we will not know. We'd rather have willful ignorance. We'd rather believe any excuse, rather trust a tapestry of lies than know the truth. Know why we're here, know where we're headed, know what's going to happen to us after death. Oh, friends, like lemmings going over the cliff, like the sheep going down to the abattoir, so are those who neglect the state of their own souls. Seek him while he may be found. In Christ is the Son of Righteousness, and he will arise with healing his wings to bless us, to strengthen us, and to deal with us kindly. If only we'd seek him, if only we'd know him, if only we'd understand why he died on the cross, why he rose from the dead the third day. But the sad reality, friends, is, like the Jews of his own generation, we prefer ignorance, we prefer darkness, we prefer folly, we prefer slavery to the liberty of the sons of God. Oh, friends, why haven't you heard the warnings of Christ? The way to destruction is broad, and many there are who go in it. The way to life is narrow, and few there are who find it. How few find the peace of God? How few find the wisdom of God? Not because it isn't openly invited, not because it isn't openly proclaimed, but because of the foolishness of our own inclinations, because of the lusts of our own hearts, because of the blinding pride and prejudice of our own beings. What a mistake, friends, not to know the grace and the kindness of the living God in his Son. But here is the warning of the prophet. He says this, "And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I do this." What is the benefit of a wicked life? What is the outcome of a life of godlessness? What is the outcome of living for sin? Ashes, dust, futility, remorse, a wasted life. Oh, friends, what a tragedy to throw your spirit away, not to know the grace and the kindness and the love of the living God, not to know the power of the cross to lift us up out of the grave of an empty life, a foolish life, a sin-loving life. In Christ is the power to wash us from inside, to give us a new heart, to give us the love of God, to give us friendship with the Most High. In the cross, in the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the power to change us, to wash us, to bless us, to make us his own. Oh, friends, what is your life for? Where are you headed? What will happen after death? Do you think you'll just be pushing the daisies up? Don't you know your spirit is eternal? Don't you know life goes on after death? Don't you know there is a God to whom you must give an account? Don't you know your sin will find you out? Don't you know there's a need to repent? Don't you know that the danger of a godless and a careless life? Seek him, friends, while he may be found. Call on him while he is still near. Here again, the words of the prophet, he says this: who can abide the day of his coming? Many people say, oh, it'll be wonderful when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, when the Prince of Life, the Lord of Life, comes back. But who can abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appears? Who shall be ready for him, friends? How many of us will be sleeping? How many of us will wake up to everlasting contempt? Wake up to everlasting reproach under the condemnation of hell? Why, friends? Don't you see the effects of sin? Don't you see how it works itself out in your life? Don't you see the outcome of a proud and a stubborn and unbelieving heart? Don't you see the danger of harbouring prejudice against God? Don't you see how it ruins you? Don't you see how it impoverishes you? Don't you see how unbelief cheats you and robs you of the richest things of all? Seek him, friends. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the great bridge back from sin to righteousness. Back from an ugly, foolish, sinful life, ruined by uncleanness, ruined by ungodliness, into the presence of peace and mercy and grace. Why live like a slave? Why live like a fool? Why live like a blinkered horse with no understanding of the things to come? Wake up to righteousness, friends, before it's too late. Call on him while he is still near. Turn away from the sins that will destroy your spirit, the things that will ruin you, the things that will degrade you. Seek his grace and his kindness before it's too late. In the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the opening in the veil, the bridge back into the presence of God. Seek him, and in him you'll find life. Like to read to you a few words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Words of command, words of invitation, words of glory. Here's the great sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he said this: blessed are the poor in spirit. Where is real happiness? Where is the root of real happiness? Here's what Jesus said: blessed are those who know they're bankrupt when it comes to spiritual things. Know that they're ruined. Know that they've got nothing to bring. Know that they're deeply in debt, because they're the ones that God wants to deal with. Not the proud fools who go to church thinking they're holier than others. Oh, friends, Christ desires a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not the proud, not the arrogant, not the religiously self-serving, not those who chase after pilgrimages and fastings and masses and confessions and preen themselves self-righteously. No! Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, friends, don't you see your own bankruptcy? Don't you see your own poverty? Don't you see how much you owe to God? Don't you see how indebted we are to him? Don't you see, friends, how we've got nothing to bring that's worthy or creditable in his sight? Don't you see, friends, how ruined, how poor we are in his sight till we know Christ, till we know righteousness, till we know wisdom, till we know the amazing grace and power of God in his Son? Oh, friends, you think these are idle fictions? Taste and see. Test it out. Come to a Bible-believing church. Go down to Wood Hill Sunday evenings. Come and hear the banquet of the gospel. Come and hear the feast of good things. Come and hear about the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and hear about the things we cannot but speak to you about. We cannot keep silent about them. Here are treasures and riches beyond our riches, our wildest imaginations. In Christ is forgiveness for sin. Oh, friends, how foolish we are. How short-sighted we are by nature. How blind we are to the real state of our own hearts. How careless we are with our own spirits and our own eternity. Without the knowledge of wisdom, without the knowledge of God, without the knowledge of his law, seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he is still near. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And you know, friends, in that wonderful promise, in that wonderful word, there is a wonderful promise implicit. Christ is the great treasurer of heaven. His merits are perfectly sufficient. No pope can provide us with merits. No bishop, no cardinal can cleanse us with his righteousness. They're fools and sinners like us. But in Christ, there is one without sin. Oh, friends, when Pope Gregory comes to England, what virtue, what power, what cleansing does he bring? None! He's a sinner like us. But in Christ, there is the only priest. There is the only bridgehead between sinful man and the living God. There is the only way by which sin can be dealt with thoroughly and properly. In Christ is the way by which sin can be washed away. How we need to see our state. How we need to see our slavery. How we need to see the hardness and the foolishness of our hearts. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, friends, blessed are those who mourn. When we see our hearts as they really are, when we see our thought life as it really is in the sight of God, how vile, how despicable, how hateful to God, how foolish, how wandering, how careless, how preoccupied with things that don't really matter, how unconcerned with the things that really do count. I'm not going to stop, thank you. In Christ, there, friends, is real comfort. There isn't peace, peace when there is no peace. In Christ is a glorious banquet. In Christ is a glorious feast of life and wisdom and strength, of discernment and understanding, of a distinguishing between evil and good, between the clean and the unclean. But our friends, by nature we're blind. By nature we're deaf to the music of his call. Why, friends, live like a fool, like a dwarf, like a careless one, not knowing the way of peace, not knowing the way of repentance. Christ said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When we go to God, when we go to the cross, broken-hearted, knowing our own sinfulness, knowing our own weakness, knowing something of our own depravity, that's when God can begin to deal with us. Till then, friends, when we wear the mask of pretense, when we wear the costume of an empty, foolish, sensual life, when we wear the costume of some shallow religion, God can't deal with us then. God can't deal with us till we get real. He can't get real with us until we deal with our sin. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Where is the truth, friends? Only to be found in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of death and time, the Lord of life. Who else has conquered death? Who else has passed through the shadow of the valley of death and returned? Who else has mastered death? He alone has the keys of death and hell. And why, friends, does he have power over death that no other man has? He is without sin, without impurity, without uncleanness. In Christ is the Lord of the heart, the Lord of righteousness and the Lord of peace. Go to him. Go to him for grace. Go to him for power. Go to him for cleansing. Oh, friends, what are you doing with your hearts? What are you doing with your lives? You live for self. You live for the here and now. Don't you see the outcome of a selfish, foolish and careless life? Don't you see the outcome of living for godlessness? Don't you see the outcome of living for the flesh? Those who sow to the flesh shall reap corruption. I won't stop, sorry friends.
No.
In Christ is the way of grace and the way of power. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the way of grace and the way of mercy. In him, and in him alone is the way of return. Seek him while you can, friends. Call upon him while he is still near at hand. Go to him for grace. In him are riches. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, there's another parallel passage in the Gospels where Jesus says this: woe to you who laugh now. Woe to you who are rich now. Woe to you who rejoice in the earthly things of your inheritance now, because you'll lose all of them. You'll lose your youth. You'll lose your strength. You'll lose your agility and your mental powers. But friends, in Christ is a treasure that can never be taken away. In the Lord Jesus Christ is the key of eternity. In the Lord Jesus Christ, is the way of peace. You're welcome to speak to my friend if you want to chat.
But I'm not going to stop.
In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the grace of God and the power of God to cleanse us and to bless us. Oh, friends, why throw away your hearts? Why throw away your spirit? Here is the way of peace, the way of righteousness, the way of truth. Buy the truth and don't sell it. Friends, why do away with the worldly excuses of this generation? Why settle for second best? Why settle for the wrapping when the treasure is undiscovered? In Christ, there is a pearl beyond price. There is a treasure vast beyond description. In Christ is the fellowship of God, the forgiveness of sin, reconciliation with the Most High. In Christ is the power of God to lift us up out of the grave of a selfish and a foolish life. Why live carelessly, friends? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let me ask you this morning solemnly, friends, what are you hungering for? What are you thirsting for? A new car? A new home? A new job? A new what partner, perhaps? No, friends. Here's the thing that will satisfy your hearts. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. There is real satisfaction to know Christ, to know the cross, to know the purpose of God, to know the giver, not the gifts, to know the fountainhead, not just a cup of water, to know the one who gives all. There is peace. There is love. There is solid joy. There is the reality of eternity. Oh, friends, why do we content ourselves with scraps? Why do we content ourselves with the scrabbling around in the dust like pigs for the here and now? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Till then our hearts will ache, our spirits groan. Oh, friends, till we know the righteousness of God in our hearts, till we know His kindness, till we know His goodness, till we know the peace of God, we won't have real fellowship, we won't have real satisfaction. Here are the fountains, the waters of a fountain from which when we drink, you'll never thirst again. Here is satisfaction, once you've tasted it, you'll not have a taste for the things of this world again. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Oh, friends, what are you chasing after? What have you been duped by? What have we been ensnared by? What have we been enticed by? What is Satan's bait on the hook for you, friends? What is Satan's hook in your jaw? Is it some fleshly pleasure? Something that'll damn your soul? Something that'll cut your fellowship from God? Something that'll ruin your conscience? Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Turn away from the thing God hates. Turn away from the things that He prohibits, the things He condemns, the things He despises, the things He sees will ruin us. And in Him find mercy always. In Him is life and grace. Many of them do, and they need it. Listen, man, I'm not going to stop, but you're welcome to speak to my friends. I'm not going to stop. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In Him is real satisfaction. In Him is real happiness. Friends, happiness is like a flower. When we sow it in the garden like a foolish child, cut off its roots and put it in the garden, it withers. It fails. Our best pleasures wither on the vine. Our best pursuits crumble into dust. Don't you see it? Even the things that we delighted in for their own sakes, ruin us. Make us poor. Make us slavish and small in His sight. Cripple us and wound us. But in Christ, there is real healing for the spirit. There is the root of real peace. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Oh, friends, why have you ruined your spirit? Why have you hardened your heart? Why have you seared your conscience? Why have you thrown away your spirit? Seek His wisdom. Seek His kindness before it's too late. Turn away from the things He sees will ruin you. In Christ is the way of return. And again, the Lord Jesus says this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Why does God seem distant from us? Why does God seem abstract to us? Why does He seem a million miles away? Because our hearts are seared by sin. Sin is like a cataract over the eyes. It blinds us. It spoils us. It robs us of the highest and the best things of all. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. when we forsake sin, when we repent, when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, when he fills us with the riches of his kindness and his undeserved goodness, then, friends, when we know his purity, then we can begin to see where he is, what he's doing in this world, how he is all wise, all good, all gracious. In him is light, and there is no darkness at all. Till then, friends, we live under the delusion that God is evil. Till then, we live in the delusion that God means our harm. Till then, we're snared. We're ensnared by the propaganda of this evil world, doing away with God, trampling him underfoot, casting behind our backs, living as rebels. Do you think it'll bring profits? Don't you know how much your sin costs? Don't you know how it's going to wound you? Don't you know how it's going to cost you at the end of life? Don't you know the payment price that must be paid for sin? Seek him, friends. Seek his grace. Seek his washing. Seek his pardon. Seek the love of God in the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. And in him, find grace and peace before it's too late. Brethren, if you need to go, don't feel free.
You're going to carry on for a bit longer.
I'm going to carry on for about 10, 12 minutes. We'll have to stop probably. As you wish. I shan't be
at the cafe,
probably, yes. Yes. Okay. Bye-bye, brethren. Yes. I'd like to read to you a few verses from the scriptures, words of warning, words of encouragement, and words of challenge. From the Apostle Paul, he says this: Do you not know? Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Oh, friends, what pastor, what teacher will tell you that a man can have sex outside of marriage and then enter heaven without with impunity? There is no such entrance. God hates such sins. He sees how they ruin us. He sees how they split up the family. He sees how they harden our hearts. He sees how they coarsen us and make us cheap. And make us slaves, and make us bitter, and make us hardened, and make us foolish, and make us dwarves compared to the people we ought to be. Unrestrained lusts wound us, and harm us, and disgrace us. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that's homosexuals, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Oh, friends, here is the glory of the gospel. It isn't a word of condemnation alone. It isn't a word of reproof alone. It's a call of hope to the worst, to the dregs, to the vile, to the unclean. Christ has the power to cleanse us. He can take the most inveterate homosexual or sodomite and make him straight. He can take an adulterer and make him chaste. He can take the deceitful and make him honest. He can take a thief and make him generous. In Jesus Christ is the power of change, the power of cleansing, the power of washing. Oh, friends, why have you thrown away your spirit? Why have you chased after vanities? Why are you living for futility? The day after day humdrum routine of the flesh, leading on to hell, leading on to judgment, leading on to the anger of God. Wake up to righteousness. Wake up to his grace, to his call, to his kindness, to his goodness. Here again the words of the Apostle Paul. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? There is a bar, there is a wall of purity set between sin and heaven. And our friends, every one of us by nature falls short. Every one of us by nature is under God's condemnation, under his indignation for the lives that we've lived. We are by nature the children of deceit, the children of his anger, the children of his curse. But in Christ, in the cross, there is the way he deals with sin. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. Such were some of you. Oh, friends, the church delights to gather the outcasts, delights to gather the hard cases, delights to gather the worst of men and women. In Christ is the power to change us, to wash us, to cleanse us. Such were some of you. Some of you were the worst of sinners, he says to the church at Corinth. Some of you were adulterers. Some of you were homosexuals. But now you are washed, you are justified, you are sanctified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Where is the power of Islam, friends, to wash away a homosexual lifestyle? Where is the power of Confucianism to take away an adulterous heart? Where is the power of Buddhism to take away a thieving spirit or a deceitful tongue? Only in the cross, only in the Lord Jesus Christ is the power to cleanse us, to wash us, to lift us up out of the grave of a careless, reckless life headed for hell. In Christ is the peacemaker, the one who stands between us and judgment. Turn away from sin. Why ruin your spirit? Turn away from the things that God hates with all his being. Go to the cross. Go to the lover of your spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd of our souls, the one who would bless us, the one who would guide us, the one who warns us with his own broken body and his own blood, spilt blood. Don't you know the cost of sin, friends? Don't you know the expense sheet for a life of godlessness? Don't you see the awful reality of what happens to somebody after death who's lived for self, lived in the snare of sin, lived just for the here and now, lived pleasing the flesh? Oh, friends, why throw away your spirit? Why harden your heart? Why live carelessly when in Christ is an abundant provision? Here's what the Apostle Paul says. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Ask an ape or a chimpanzee to deal with a computer and he won't have a clue what he's doing. Ask a fleshly man to deal with the things of the Spirit, the things of the conscience, the things of principle, and he won't have a clue what he's doing. The worldly wise men of our age are fools, blinded. Those in government circles who advise the teaching of sex education of the most immoral and vile kind to our children are blind. They can't see beyond their nose. They hate and they wound and they despise. What a tragedy, friends. Wake up to righteousness before it's too late. Turn away from sin. Why throw away your spirit? Why live like tinder for hell? Why be a slave of Satan? Why, friends? Where is the power in Islam to cleanse away sin? When did Muhammad ever die for sin? When was his life ever sinless or pure? Only in Christ, only in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the way of peace and the way of washing. Seek him before it's too late. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the way of peace. There is the way of grace. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is God's love and kindness to us, his patience toward us. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the great Lamb of God. Oh, friends, he has every right to be a lion, and he will be a lion. But in that day when he came to save, to bless, to warn, to heal, he was the Lamb of God. Gentle and meek as a lamb, wounded on our behalf, taking our penalty, our sin, in his own body on the cross if we go to him. But our friends, we re-crucify him to ourselves afresh. We hate him. We despise his warnings. Like a foolish man who punches the ambulance man who come to save him. Like a man who punches the fireman who come to rescue him from a burning building. So we deal with Christ. It won't last forever, friends, this folly. It won't last forever, this hardness of heart. We need to get real. We need to seek mercy while there's still an opportunity. We need to find, why did Jesus Christ die? Why was he raised the third day? Why does sin have to be paid for in blood? Oh, friends, it's no good dreaming your way through life. It's no good sleepwalking down to hell. Wake up to righteousness before it's too late. In him, and in him alone, is the truth of God and the power of God to bless us, to cleanse us, and to change him. Seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he is still near. Why throw away your spirit? Why throw away your life? Why throw away your eternity? Why harden your spirit against the Most High God? Why ruin your conscience? Why live like a fool? Why live like a puppet? Friend, wake up to his grace and his kindness. In Christ is a warning and an invitation. A warning of the death to come if we live for self, if we live for pleasure, if we live for senses. In Christ is a call to spirituality, a call to righteousness, a call to wisdom, Don't you see the effects of sin? Don't you see how sin ruins us and corrupts us and degrades us and enslaves us ultimately? Brings us step by step down towards judgment. Brings us away from the favour and the communion of God. Makes us brutish. Makes us foolish. Makes us empty. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from every unrighteousness. There's nothing so vile Christ hasn't the power to deal with. Not just to take away its record, but to deal with its roots. In Christ is the power to give us a new heart, to kill the old man, the old rebellious, foolish man, and give us a new heart and a new life, to straighten out the back of crookedness and make it make us into men and women of integrity. In Christ is the noble one, to raise us up to life and to purity. Why throw away your spirit, friends? Why live for futility? Why live an empty, careless, reckless life? Seek Him while He may be found. Call on Him while He is still near. In Christ is the love of God. Seek Him while He may be found. Call on Him while He is still near. Oh, friends, I'd like to read to you one last verse from the Scriptures, from the Gospel of John. Words of invitation and words of life. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Why should God love this world? What is there lovable about this world to God, friends? He sees its vileness, its selfishness, its pits of sin. The things that we love, He hates. Why should God love this world? Why should God give us the time of day? Why should He be patient with us? But our friends, He's amazingly patient. Amazingly gracious. Far more than we ever could deserve. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When we live for self, when we live for the flesh, we're living a zombie life. A life of living death. A life of corruption. A life that leads to destruction. What a mistake. What a careless thing to do. What a dangerous thing to do, to walk on thin ice. To walk on the thin ice of Satan's pleasure. To walk as a puppet of this present evil age. To walk following the move music of this present moment. Oh, friends, in Christ is the power to wash us, to cleanse us, to change us, to break the chains of sin over us. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the love of God and the kindness of God to us. Seek Him while He may be found. Call on Him while He is still near. God so loved the world, this vile, selfish, foolish and careless world, that He gave His only begotten Son. Oh, friends, God takes this matter very seriously. To Him it's a matter of life and death, of blood, of injury, of wounding. In Christ is an open way back into the presence of the Father. But how have we dealt with Christ? Have we crucified Him to ourselves afresh? Nailed Him up on the cross again today with our words, with our acts? Despised His mercy? Despised His patience? Snatched His grace for ourselves? Taken His intellectual and spiritual gifts and ruined them on our own pleasures? Is that what we've done? Tenants of a life not our own that we've wrecked and ruined? Oh, friends, the day of reckoning will come. The day of audit, the day of account must come. Our sins will find us out. Our record will emerge. Will you wake up to sleep, from sleep to everlasting contempt, to everlasting reproach? Or will you know His grace and His power and His mercy to wash and to cleanse? Seek Him while He may be found.